Listen up, Umi. This is a podcast with the most ducker. This is Forge the Narrative.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to an episode of Forge the Narrative, We Love LL Souls podcast. My name is Paul, your host. I'm joined by Red Powell.
What up?
Tanya Gates and Adam Camilleri.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, g'day.
Welcome to the show. We ended last week's episode by saying that Red and I were going to have a battle, and we did. And we'll talk about that in just one second, but I also want to tee up in this episode, we're going to talk about two army lists. We're going to talk about Emperor's Children army list and World Leaders army list ideas. If anybody out there is just getting going, that is, you know, we're hopefully we give you a little bit of something to kind of sink your teeth into if you're just trying to get going with those factions. And the week after, we'll talk about some Death Guard stuff, but here's a little spoiler for Death Guard. I hope you like painting Poxwalkers. But more to come on that. Welcome, everybody. How are y'all doing this evening?
I'm doing really well. Yeah, it's been a beautiful day here. I went outside and I actually did the thing that nerds don't like to do, and I touched some grass. It was great.
I was hoping you were going to say exactly that.
doing fine over here as well. Red, we're not exactly super close to each other, so getting the opportunity to play and hang out for a bit was really nice. And, you know, anyway, thanks for coming up.
No, thanks for having me. It was awesome. It was great.
And we played a game. It was your Imperial Agents.
That's right. Yeah, my completely full-blown, lore-specific Imperial Agents army.
I'll let you talk about the list in just a second. I was playing Blood Angels, and I was playing a Blood Angel like list, the kind of the one that I've been getting the most reps in, you know, with I had Mephiston, had the Sanguiner, ran with Dante, Lamartis in a big fat unit of Death Company, several units of Assault Intercessors, and then a couple units of Jump Pack Intercessors with Assaults, and then I was running some Sanguinary Guard, some Blade Guard, had a Captain there, had a Combi Weapon Lieutenant, which, by the way, if you're playing Space Marines, you don't have the Combi Weapon Lieutenant. It is in every single list for a reason. Comes with basically lots of cool benefits. And Red, you want to recap what you were playing?
Yeah, so it was Imperial Agents. I was using the Fleet Detachment, which is by far the most utility out of all the Imperial Agents detachments, in my opinion. I was running five squads of completely melee-focused Death Watch. Three of those were led by three Watchmasters. And then I had two Navigators with Voidfarers in the back. And then I asked the other two Death Watch went in two Rhinos, and then I had two Emulators, the ones using the Twin Flamers, with each one with five Sisters in it. And then the key and clutch to the list was the one enhancement I took, which is Clandestine Operations, which allows me to put three Death Watch in. It allows me to infiltrate them, which was a big deal.
So, long story short, I got destroyed, like absolutely destroyed. And I'll tell you, it was a good reminder of, maybe read the rules. Not read the rules. I'm just kidding. No, not read the rules. But it was, I essentially took some of my units for granted because of the falling back on some of their past performance. You look at some of those units that I just talked about, and they are excellent at killing Marines. Like, absolutely. True. You could look at any 10-man Marine squad and feel very confident of throwing some of those things that I mentioned in, and coming out on the other side, not necessarily unscathed, but with the upper hand. But when you run into a unit as complex as the Death Watch, I really should have pumped the brakes a bit and asked more questions, or maybe tried to do the math on use the known quantity of, like, wait a second, how many storm shields do you have in there? You know, those types of questions, I'm not saying would have helped me win the game, but they would have helped me have a lot better opportunity. And that was a great reminder. And Rev's, of course, gracious in his his dismantling of me and my units. Great sports. And by the way, didn't deny me these questions. I just didn't ask, you know. So yeah. I took a few things for granted, and I wanted to highlight it on the show is because that's something I think it's an easy trap to fall into. Like, especially, you know what Mephiston does. Like, right. Maybe you don't know, but he's really good at chopping into Marines. So, you know, even Sanguiner Dante, all really good at chopping into Marines, but maybe not these Marines. And that, while you can say, of course, that should be evident, sometimes these reminders helps us future games. And I'm certainly going to have to carry this with me.
So what makes your Marines so different, Red?
So being Death Watch, the very complete loadout to them is, and again, it is the most melee loadout that they could have. It starts off, as Paul mentioned, there's four of them have storm shields with power weapons. So they're already strength 5. All their attacks are AP 2 flat. So they have built in AP. The squad has the squad ability is that essentially they get to reroll hits of 1. Against everything, and then if they're fighting Xenos, they get to reroll all hits. And then the Watchmaster, when leading a unit, allows them to fall back and charge and advance and charge. So infiltrating up front, those three put a lot of pressure on the field, and they're close enough together typically. I try not to fight too isolated. And so 4 up invulns do, I mean, I think Paul, the Sanguinor went in, he had 8 attacks that hit and wounded with no difficulty. And then the storm shields, I think I only 2 of the 4, no, all 4 storm shields died. And so, yeah, I mean, they all got murked by it, because I think they stopped 4 and then they failed the other saves. And so statistically went off. And then it really, the hammers after that became the problem. The hammers,
the Thunder Hammers of old.
That's right. That's right. They are classic. They're classic Firstborn Marines wielding classic Firstborn Thunder Hammers. they hit on 4s, but I'll take it with the rerolling 1s. And then they're AP 2, and they do 3 damage apiece. And so that's a pretty big deal when you've got 12 of those coming one way or the other. And they have devastating wounds.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they have devastating wounds built in. And so it's a pretty big deal. They don't really mess around. And that's kind of, the shields are there to keep the hammers in play. And that's, when you've got 50 of those on the field, there's enough saturation that, I'll lose a squad. I'll lose 2 squads. And admittedly, I know I have momentum issues after turn 3. Like, I have to really pace myself. But
don't worry, we didn't get that far.
Oh, no.
No, we could have gotten that far. You know, yeah,
it was, to that end, they are just Space Marines and Space Marine power armor, but they do hit different. And so knowing how to apply that and where to go with them helps. And I was worried about the Sanguinor and Mephiston. I mean, you saw, Paul, knowing that you fight first, I just tried to avoid Mephiston there at the end and just do what I can. But I knew he was coming for me, and it was just something that I was going to have to try and absorb and take on the chin.
But again, play very well on your side. And for me, I'm looking at it like, I've faced this Marine charge before, but it's not this type of Marine charge, and so just really taking a moment to assess each individual situation on its own merits, I think it was a good reminder of that. And because that could have easily been, round 3 of a tournament game and making some assumptions or getting a little too confident or whatever. And it was preventable. Some of what happened was very preventable.
Sure.
And it was, I thought, as we're talking about, because I feel like, people find themselves in that situation from time to time. Adam is back. So.
I am.
But anyway, it was a really good time. Real fun. And anytime you get to put models on the table is awesome. And spend some time together is very cool. But again, the power armor is not the same power armor in every situation. And there it was, all strewn about the battlefield in bits and pieces.
So I have a question for you, Paul. If you could go back and do it all over again, what is something that you would change in order to maybe get a different outcome?
So that's a good question. So I essentially ended up feeding units to the fire to where that I could have... very, very doable to do that on a different rate than I did it, because I was again, going back to more confident that I would, this unit's going to come in, I'm going to give it a charge, and then I'm going to kill it, and then I'm only dealing with two units. That's not what happened. I essentially gave it a unit, didn't kill the unit, and then I'm still dealing with three units where I have fewer units, and that was very changeable. Now, again, I'm not promising a difference in the outcome of the game, but the game would have been paced much differently. And when you have more resources on the table, you can, of course, make more things happen when the opportunity from the flips come. So that is, it at the very least, and maybe even the very most, I would have changed the rate in which I sacrificed.
And, you know, and building on to that too, I mean, for me, just because, you know, we'll talk more about World Eaters here in a little bit, but like, I've played so much, I enjoy the melee mechanic so much that I'm so, I expect to lose things. I expect that there's going to be an exchange because it's not just a one-way street like ranged. And so for many players out there, what I'd say, especially in something like this, Blood Angels, Death Watch, World Eaters, what have you, is like, you have to stick through it in so many cases. Cause like, I mean, Paul, you could run a unit of mine down to three or four people and I'd still keep trying to push into it. And I feel some players, especially when they see a 10 soldier unit go down to three units, they just, they're done. They've foregone. But if you keep sitting there pulling everything you can out of all of those units, it helps you maintain whatever momentum you can. And I'm just so aware of the fact that I lose momentum so quickly as I start to get chipped down that I keep trying to push things in instead of foregoing any conclusions, because dice are dice. So it's always something to keep in mind for anybody who's trying to play these melee armies out there.
It was a fun game. And look, you know, it's, if you're not losing games of Warhammer every now and then, you're probably not playing the right people or playing enough, you know? And then when you take a lesson from it, even better. And this was a swat to the head from a devastating Thunderhammer. A wake up call that hopefully I don't repeat, at least through not the same actions. And that's really the lesson, I think. But anyway, fun times. Enough about that. Great to play and get some miles on the table. Certainly learned a lot. Let's talk about where we'll start. Emperor's Children. Start with Emperor's Children. They came out first.
Let's do it.
So, what was the mandate you gave us, Paul?
Let's get going, see what the best Emperor's Children list we can find out there is, and yep. Also World Eaters and the Death Guard next.
Nice. So I have picked and built us a Emperor's Children list worthy of Slaanesh. It's actually quite a bit of a task tossing up which detachment you would like. There is, I think, three very, very high contenders, but I chose to go with the Peerless Bladesman. And this is simply because the detachment rule gives you lethal or sustained hits on the charge, and seeing as your whole army is advancing and charging, essentially, as long as you're, you know, towing the lines on the T's and C's, you kind of have lethals or sustained on demand. And both of those keywords are really quite good at handling a couple of the different issues that Emperor's Children come up against. Most notably, I think Emperor's Children have a strength problem at times, so they can have a lot of, you know, strength 4, strength 5, strength 6, and the kind of their best strength on infantry is strength 7 with lance on the Lord Exultants. So I chose this one because I think it has the across the board most even distribution of detachment, you know, possibilities, and also I think it's just got three absolute banger enhancements that really change the course of the game, or really change the complexity of how you go into this army. From the top, we have one Demon Prince with wings, who is the Warlord, and it has a distortion.
Really? Yeah, sorry, shut up. I'll let you do the list. I'm sorry.
The advance and charge on the Winged Demon Prince is, you know, something you just have access to in this army. So you go faster, more better is the premise here. And I put the enhancement distortion on there, and that is add one to the attacks and damage characteristic of melee weapons equipped by the bearer. So going to, you know, a lot of attacks at high damage.
Distortion Princes.
Distortion Princes, baby. I think it's going to be really good. Yeah. Now, here's where it gets spicy. I've got a second Demon Prince. This one's got nothing on it. So the reason for this is that because your shooting also will have at times struggle with high toughness targets. Doing the charge mortals, I believe, is essentially like, so essentially your Demon Princes get a free grenade stratagem. Let me just read that out to everybody at home. I find it. And I think this is actually key, one of the key strategies for the army. So the Winged Demon Prince comes with a couple of special rules. Each time this model ends a charge move, select one enemy unit within engagement range of it and roll a d6 for each one of those, each model's remaining wounds. For each 4+, they suffer one mortal wound up to 6. So you roll 10 dice when you're at full health. You move 14 with advance and charge. So you can be going 20 inches and declaring a charge with this guy. And each time an attack is allocated to the model, -1 from the damage. So it has inbuilt -1 damage. And then on with distortion, the distortion prince will have 7 attacks at strength 8. AP 2, 4 damage. So, and that 4 damage is really key. We're starting to see more and more 4-wound infantry, 4-wound monsters, things like Wraith, in, Knopted Court or Awakened Dynasty for Necrons and in a myriad of other places. Also, Death Guard getting 4 wounds. It looks like there is a lot more of that 4-wound profile you're going to need an answer for. So, Distortion Prince is here to save the day. In addition, the charge models are a great way for dealing with transports. So you'll notice when we get down the list, the long-range firepower is pretty much just, and I'm not going to say pretty much, it is just Noise Marines Blastmasters. And they can swing up or they can swing down versus a lot of transports. But you add in the fact that you're likely to do, 5 mortal wounds on the charge with one of your Demon Princes, you can crack those transports, pile in with the Demon Prince after you've done it because you're doing the models in the charge phase. They'll then disembark and then you pile into them and you clean them up. So it's a little self-contained problem solver. Past that, we have not one, but 2, but 3 Lord Exultants. These are your melee Chaos Lord equivalents, 2 of which have enhancements, the first one being Rise to the Challenge. And this is so very good. Once per battle at the end of the fight phase, if the bearer is within engagement range or 3 or more enemy models, it can use this enhancement. If it does, the bearer fights again. So yeah, you can just fight
Oh,
twice.
Did you like fighting once? How about fighting one more time?
Correct. So if you're going into a super durable unit, you can fight for a second time. Or if you kill a first unit and manage to pile in to a second unit, you can go and fight that one too. And then as the other Lord Exultant has Blinding Speed, which is the once per game fights first, which is extremely good on a mid-board trading piece, which these guys will. And then at the third Lord Exultant, because... And then we got 3 Lord Cacophonists. So I've spent a clean 1,000 points of my army on characters. So 3 Lord Cacophonists, each with the double screamer pistol. So I've skewed the power weapon, which I don't think is worth it. You just need more gun. And of course, the absolute legend that is Lucius the Eternal. Then we have 2 Infractor Squads. Sorry, 3 Infractor Squads. These are your scout units. So they'll go inside the rhinos, they'll scout up with the lords, and they'll get stuck in. And then the 2 torment units to infiltrate and sticky midboard objectives ASAP. Then we have 2 rhinos and 3 units of 6 noise marines. So essentially the way I see this working is you're going to be going into the middle with your Lord Exultant and Infractor packages and then trying to get an investment from your opponent, trying to get them to come in and play the game. And of course, if you go first, you're going to sticky a couple of the midboard objectives and get out of there with your tormentors, causing your opponent to need to take action in order to get the game going back their way. So it means you start off, even if you go first, kind of the first trades should be on your terms if you're positioned appropriately. And then once your rhinos have deposited their, melee trading packages, you then get noise marines in there. So I'm going to have 2 noise marines starting on the table, either inside the rhinos or standing by to advance into the rhinos once the melee assets have been shot out. And then they're just going to go and do Blastmaster drive-bys, as we call it in the biz. And then one unit of the noise marines goes on foot in reserve and will usually rapid ingress on a turn 2 or a turn 3 and try and get some good angles.
You're going 2 Blastmasters per squad.
Absolutely. So good. And with the Cacophonous Lords, you essentially, because they kind of are the equivalent of 2 other Noise Marines with Sonic Blasters and then give you the sustained hits, it's kind of adding, it's almost like you have 8 or 9 models in that unit that have the Sonic Blasters, and then you have to do Blastmasters as well. So they're really, really good shooting packages. And yeah, that's my list. Any questions?
Also, the Blastmaster, the reason we're talking about so good is 3 attacks, a hit on 3, strength 10, -2 AP, 3 damage, ignores cover. That's with the single frequency, and the varied frequency is 6 shots, strength 6, -2, 1 damage. So very versatile in AT-AT range.
Extremely potent. Very good anti-Eldar guns all the way around. Very good anti-infantry guns just as normal. And then, of course, the Blastmaster had the second profile that could kind of be good into everything. So I'm a huge fan of them. They are the best. I think it's not really in contention that they're the best shooting assets you have available to you in Emperor's Children. And so you just need to make sure you've got a good quantity of them. Plus, the models are sick. Models are absolutely...
I had a little, just a for funsies game against Emperor's Children, actually, just a couple days ago. And I was playing a Dread Mob list, and it just did not seem like there was enough high-strength shots to get through a lot of that armor. Do you think that this is still going to be a problem with the list that you've built?
Yeah, so that's why the kind of the two princes are there, because you do just need something that's going to go brawl into a Leman Russ. You need something that's going to give you the option to punch up, because outside the Lord Exultants using their once per game, you know, go super angry, super feisty ability, you really can't, you know, scratch the paint on a Canis Rex or something like that. So I feel like the princes are pretty necessary, because at a minimum, like if someone, you know, shoots out, you know, a big dread mob unit, like a Gorkonaut, Morkonaut Stomper, heaven forbid a Stomper, your best course of action is to grenade it and then charge it with two Demon Princes, and then you'll just half kill it with mortal before you start attacking. And then you might kill it, you might not, but at least like you're sandbagging that model, and you're going to keep it stuck in combat, especially with the minus one damage on the princes. They're actually very hard for a single activation to kill, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So like there's very few models. Canis Rex is arguably one of them. A Stomper is probably definitely one of them. They can just be like, dunk, you're dead. Outside that, it's going to take you a turn or two if you're just fighting them.
And then going with wings. Demon Princess of Wings?
Oh. Yeah, speed. More speed.
Yeah, more speed. Speed. Look, it sounds... No, you had a solid case for it.
Yeah. More speed is what we need, is a quote off Rocky. greasy, fast speed. I did consider the Demon Prince on foot, because it's only 4 inches less movement. But, you know, it doesn't fly over all the things. Doesn't do the mortal wounds on the charge.
So it doesn't go through walls, right? So...
Yeah.
Like, the regular Demon Prince?
Yeah, it doesn't go around. Doesn't go around all the things, which is a little bit troublesome. But some of the main combos, there's also some very good stratagems available to this detachment, as I'm sure people are already aware, so I won't go too deep into them. But Peerless Blazeman has some pretty good stratagem support. And a lot of people are very high on the coterie of Slaaneshiness. What's it called?
That's straight out of the codex.
Yeah, the coterie, though. Yeah. That's exactly the one that did pretty well in recent games over this last weekend.
Mm-hmm. You have a 2-CP fight on death, which is very nice, especially
the coterie of the conceited.
That's the one. what I really like about this is that it has essentially access to armor contempt. The opposite of armor contempt. In the fight phase, you have 1-CP plus 1-AP. And like I said before, both AP and strength are things that you actually find you won't be throwing out a huge amount of. AP 2 is kind of the ceiling on the vast majority of your melee profiles. So pumping that up to AP 3 is very, very good. And also, the reason I love this is that there's a 1-CP pile and it consolidates 6 inches. So with that fights twice Lord, you have to be 7.1 inches away from any other unit to think that you're not going to get got by that guy. So I think it just beefs that up to another level.
I like playing with the ranges. I like the idea of the dedicated transports to give you a little bit of insulation.
Yeah, I wish there was I wish I could find points for a third Rhino. That's the thing I think this is missing. Only two Rhinos. I'd love to have three Rhinos that on, you know, a turn two after some infractor units have been thrown into the middle to trade with my opponent. All three of them have Noise Marines in it, and they're just driving around, you know, doing broadsides and stuff like that. That would feel a lot better. But man, the points, Emperor's Children points are very tight. It might be that the second Demon Prince goes away. To get that Rhino and then probably some spawn, because what this army is also lean on is action economy. So this army pretty much has one mode, is go straight at your opponent, no chill, no messing around. And so, you know, there'll be turns of the game where you draw an established locus and a recover assets or a sabotage or something like that, or, you know, containment. And you're just not going to be able to get the max points on it, because you just have to do too much kill deathing, and every unit is needed to activate.
You've got a Lucius in there, which is, I mean,
correct.
Can't go wrong with Lucius, but is Lucius in this case just a little bit of more of what you've already got in other places?
You telling me to drop Lucius?
No, I don't want you to. I want you to get rid of one of those Demon Princes with wings, but then you made a really good case for him, so I'm like, well, what's the next thing to go?
All right, we drop one of the Demon Princes with wings. We're gonna duplicate for the third Rhino, and then we can get two units of Chaos Spawn.
Yeah,
two units of Spawn. There we go. No, one unit of spawn, sorry. And then I have 30 points left over to play with. But that's not bad, because a third Rhino, I mean, if all else fails, I can just have a solo Rhino running around doing bits and pieces. And, of course, the Chaos Spawn, both Paul and I are both absolute Chaos Spawn enjoyers. So that's not a bad call either.
No, I'm digging it. And you also the three various other foot characters in there, because they're extremely good.
They're extremely good, mate. They always punch up. They always, like I said about the Lord Cacophonist, adds like 2.5 noise marines worth of value to a noise marine unit for the low cost of 60 points. And then the Lord Exultants are pretty much what you need to punch up. They're just very necessary. Without them, the melee profiles on your infractor units kind of don't get the job done. You could find yourself, you know, putting even a 10 of them into, you know, a unit of Astartes on an objective, and they pop AOC and they kind of just survive pretty easily.
I like it. No, thanks for sharing. It does sound like a pretty good way, like a lot of utility, even a little bit of modularity with the chains there, and does a lot of damage to your opponent, which is very fun.
It's a little too hero hammery for my liking. I wish I didn't need so many characters, but it feels like the infractors need the Lord Exultants to get the jobs done that are necessary. And it feels like the Lord Cacophonus is just too cheap not to spam, right?
I agree, but that's kind of where, you know, what I do, like when you're looking at building a list, like, well, this thing is good. One of them is good. Three of them must be amazing. You know, like, what's the max I can take? That must be amazing.
Yeah. But remember that for later.
Yeah,
it's a good point.
Yeah. Put a pin in that.
Well, so Empress Children are also dealing with the fact they have a very small sandbox of unit options. And so it just is what it is. Like if you're, and of course this is because they're a brand new faction, you know, it wouldn't be surprised if in a year or two they get a new wave of various releases or whatnot. Well, you know, I'm not saying I know anything, but stuff like that. We've seen it happen for Thousand Suns. We've seen that happen for Welders. We've seen it happen for Death Guard multiple times. So this is just like the genesis of Empress Children in the game. So if you have to play with, you know, spammed out units, you don't have that many to choose from, and no one can really have a go at you because you're like, what, you want me to take Helldrakes? Like, I'm not taking Helldrakes.
I agree with what you're saying, but I guess what I was trying to intimate is that sometimes that third one is just more of something that you may already have enough of with the first two. Yeah. And that third may be a swing into something else. And you may learn that after you play a few games. Well, you play two or three games, then looking at what you've got your three ofs, maybe where you go to alter to make some changes. Mm. And maybe the list is great for today's meta. Maybe you need to change a little bit in tomorrow's meta because, you know, living, breathing the ogre. And that's anything that you've got the third one of is something to, on the watch list, the short list for change.
Yeah, because there is a diminishing returns, right, to taking the same units, doing all the stuff. So, maybe. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, sometimes not, though. Sometimes you just minis you want, and that's just the minis you can get. That's good. But thanks for sharing. Let's take a quick break. We will come back and talk about some more leaders.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games, Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
We are back, everyone. Please check out our sponsors. The sponsors really keep all this flowing. Everything free for everybody helps us with the show, keep the show up on the various platforms that we do. And so show them some love and go check them out. Discount Games has been a sponsor for a long time. Great folks to work with, especially when we talk about things to pre-order. If they're definitely a resource, check out your local stores, check them out, get it. You will not regret checking them out and seeing what they got. All kind of game stuff. Go to the website and don't forget to do what the prompt asks you to do. We said we talked about Emperor's Children just a second ago. Going to talk about World Leaders today. Red, you are a well-known World Leaders player.
Yep. And with that, I just want to come out the gate swinging again and saying that I've found my new vindicator. I did. And we're going to get there. They did it. I mean, they gave it to me. I appreciate, you know, there's, again, I said it last time when we were talking about World Leaders. I do think that this is the best World Leader Codex I've seen since Khorne Demonkin, which I think was the height of, like the height of, I mean, we were 7th edition and World Eaters were off the chain with all the things you could do with blood tide points. And they've even built that in to a certain degree with the detachments here. But anyways, onto these lists. So my first one, just complete throwaway, just because I had to build the,
we're getting more than one list.
Oh yeah. This one, we're just going to skip off this one. This is like, we're just going to bounce right off this one because as much as I love it, I'm not going to run it right now. It is Karn. Okay, so Karn's in all of them. I'm if you thought Lucius was good, just watch it because Karn's gonna get out and just ruin some people's day in the best way, fun loving game possible. Then you've got three Juggernauts, and I'll coin that phrase. If it's not already been coined, it's mine. And then you have 420 model Zerker squads for a total of 80 Zerkers. And so, and then you have some Jackals to hold that one back objective that you never want to actually sit on. And then you have some spawn to just really throw right into the mix of it. And you could play around between spawn or Goremongers. I think that's kind of, some of that's just depending on if you really feel you need to build that space out for infiltration, or if you're just going to have the spawn that are going to scout and then just rush up as far as possible. And so 80 Berserkers, one of those being led by Karn. You can largely expect you're going to lose maybe two models to Karn if, like, somehow they avoid his squad and he can't charge 20 guys out there in the middle of it. But the other three with the Juggerlords are going to move at 10 inches apiece, and they're just going to run down the field. And it's 80 models that are just going to mob the field. I think it sounds like a blast. Zerker Warband is perfect for it. And it's just so much coming at you. I do think that there's some appropriate things that can address it. I mean, guns are always a good strategy to start off with, but I think 80 is still just so many bodies to try and absorb. And so that's again, just really skipping off that. Comments, feedback, y'all got anything? Because you know 80 is going to be fun to see.
Staging grounds with the terrain layouts, you know, even, you know, in cover, people not killing as many as they expect to kill, even with their shooting. Because, like, getting through that many bodies with multiple wounds and a good armor save, you cannot take it for granted.
That's right. Yep. You just got to, I mean, the blessings of Khorne with being able to pile in and consolidate 6 inches. I mean, there's just so much movement to it. That it's going to get where you need it to go in a lot of ways. And so that's just starting out the gate.
It seems pretty like if you've been playing World Eaters for a long time, probably have most of those models already.
That's right. I totally do. In fact, I've got two different, I had 80 of the old Berserkers. And now this is, I'm working towards 80 of the new Berserkers. And so I'm excited to see what that ends up looking like. Now my second list, which is really the advancement of moving past my desire to just flood the field with Berserkers, still the Berserker Warband. Karn's still in there. We've got two Juggerlords, and then we have only three squads of Zerkers in this case, but it's one 10-man that's going in a Rhino, and then you have two 20-man squads, each with a Juggerlord attached to them, so they get that extra movement. And then Karn delivered in a Rhino is really the perfect missile in so many ways. Rhino rushing and how we can get them up. You have Jackals for the back, and then here we go with my newfound Vindicators of World Eaters. You run three, right? Because if the first one wasn't good enough and two is just awesome, why not max it out with three Defilers? And then you have Goremongers to take out space. Now, that sounds like a lot with that many Defilers. However, when you consider what they're capable of, the Defilers, as I'm looking at their data sheet, right, it's a good reminder. And Adam hit on it before with Defilers being one of the highlights for World Eaters. But I just want to go back over some of it as to why I'm so hyped about this. Because so many different weapons, and when I hit my third list here in a second, I'll highlight this again. Oh, yeah. I came really prepared. I was super excited for this. With Defilers, when you talk about the Defiler Battle Cannon, and it has Blast and Rapid Fire 3 at 48 inches, so 24 inches, getting that extra three shots, you're talking about D6 plus 6, hitting on 4, strength 10, AP minus 1, 3 damage. And so, no, it's not 14 strength like a Vindicator, but that's still a ton of shots that's coming out of it. And then you've also, I'm running, each one of them will have the Reaper autocannon, so devastating wounds, rapid fire 4, sustained hits 1. So 36 inches, so at 18 inches, we're talking 8 shots. And with sustained hits, strength 7, AP minus 1, 2 damage, unless I'm mistaken. But all that is just a lot of firepower, not to count that, you know, don't forget these things have the scuttling deal, which I just love, because I think Defiler models are peak, like, 4th, 5th edition chaos, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you look at them, there's some great stuff, some amazing stuff out there. The Mauler Fiend and the Forge Fiend are, like, that's that was we had advanced into 8th edition chaos, right? But when you go back to the Defiler and just its aesthetic and what it looks like, it's this big, you know, joked around with some friends. It's the crazy baby looking thing from Toy Story that's just crawling out of the darkness. Yeah. This thing's going to get you, and its big claws are going to grab you and throw you across the table. And then its Defiler can just blowing stuff up. And heaven forbid you deep strike within 12 inches of two of these things, because they're just going to shoot everything they've got at you at full rapid fire.
Speaking of their big claws, though, what is their strength in melee?
So they do it right with, if you're going to go 16. Big, go as high as you can with strength 16. AP minus 3, D6, 1, 6 attacks hitting on 3.
On brand, multiple 8, no problems.
Amazing.
And I'm also, so all three of mine have the Reaper autocannon plus the Scourges. So they have 3 more attacks hitting on 3s at strength 12, AP minus 1, 2 damage. So
what I'm hearing is they're actually better than a Vindicator because they can punch stuff.
That's right, because they can punch things. Absolutely. And they move 10 inches and scuttle over walls. Like, I can't, not to mention the other, you've got to deal with 40 Berserkers with Jugger Lords and Karn and his Missile Rhino. I'm pretty stoked. This is my, like, highlight list right now. I wanted to Goldilocks this thing, right? Like, we went too heavy with 80 Zerkers, and then this is my, like, just right bowl of porridge right here with World Eaters. and so that, I'm really excited about that. Now, maybe a little too light in regards, because it's only this next list, I change over to the Gortrak detachment, which I do think that Gortrak is the higher skill list detachment in its approach. But this one, as I said, it's maybe not enough because it's only 40 Berserkers. And this is, so out of characters, I've got Karn, I've got 3 Masters of Execution because they're all
Wait a second. Some folks are saying the Master Executioner got no business in list anymore.
At their point cost, at a whopping 60 points, these guys absolutely have a place for carrying 10 Zerkers out of Rhinos or other transports, as I'm about to highlight. And when we go into the ability to come out and then be able to reroll your charges and your Blood Frenzy is just enough that it's a big enough deal, right? Because we take into account like the Rhinos or the strats from the Gortrak that allow you to get people out of sequence. It plays a bigger deal into how you use blood surging and making sure that that works appropriately. So just a good little thing to build into the utility of the list. Always bringing 1 unit of Jackals, 1 unit of Goremongers, Jackals for holding the back. They do still have Sticky, so it's a great little deal. While they did lose Feel No Pain, always good to remember they've got now Toughness 4 somehow. No power armor, but somehow still tougher than Sisters of Battle, but we'll give it to them. And then Goremongers to help manage space. And then here we go. So my transports for 10, for these 4 squads of 10 Zerkers, 2 Rhinos, and then the other 2 transports, 2 Land Raiders. And so 2 Land Raiders sounds like a lot, but I'm telling you, these things are going to bring it. Like, I mean, really.
Well, explain that, because this is one of those things where it's a unit where people have some type of feeling, some type of bias for a Land Raider.
Right.
But I mean, in a World Eater list is a Land Raider seemingly more attractive than maybe some other detachment?
Sure. So when you take a Land Raider, right, it all comes in with everything we've always been familiar with as far as it's got assault ramps. It can move forward. You can disgorge folks, and then they can charge, right? So that's a healthy amount of movement when it comes down to it. Land Raider moving at 10 inches is going to be just as far as if they had a Jugger Lord built in, but then they get the 3-inch disembarking, or you use the strat to get out within 6 inches, right? And then the next part being that once you're out of the Land Raider comes with the most basic Land Raider loadout is the las cannons and its heavy bolters. And just because they're World Eaters, I guess, because when you go back and look at the regular Chaos Space Marine Land Raider, it doesn't have this. But all of their las cannons have rapid fire too. And so what we're looking at is that if I'm shooting something within 24 inches, we're now shooting 8 las cannon shots out the gate. And then you have double the amount of It is a lot. And we're talking 16 with two Land Raiders at T12, two up armor save, and 16 wounds. 240 points, you're, you know, times two, so 480. You are carrying these berserkers around the field and getting them there. We're taking the Gortrak detachment and fine-tuning it, not just with rhinos, but now with Land Raiders to try and maximize this ability of getting out and getting back in and killing things and doing that. Because if you can disgorge and then you can find yourself in engagement range with someone, you can then find yourself getting back in the vehicle shortly thereafter. And so we've always seen something where you can do these things out of sequence is powerful. And the technique involved of being able to get out, get back in, and do that back and forth is going to really allow the mobility of this to take off while also being protected by some of these. I mean, you know, rhinos, while 85 points are still nothing to scoff at for their ability to get something around the field. And if you don't get back in them, they go off and do other things that can either distract from what else is going on or just score you secondaries otherwise.
It doesn't feel good when your opponent never feels good trying to chase down a rhino, try to divert things to killing a rhino.
But so at this point, though, I've listed everything that puts me with just about 225 points left. And so I'm telling you right now, I'm going to use out of that 225 points on this list, I'm going to fit Token Defiler right in there for my Defiler.
I'm going to say camp. Six spawn.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a tough one, right? Like 180 points, like spawns 80 points. I do think that there's something to the Defiler's ability to respond to things and put the hurt on the battlefield that spawn are great. But I still think that, some of these other things that are out there that are infiltrating, right? Nurglings, whatnot, like spawn are great, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do enough out there. I can see spamming them to a point, but I think I'd rather go with something like a Defiler that's going to be able to pull in some more attention.
Yeah.
So those are my three. I'm not nearly as deep as Adam with the Emperor's Children, but I did hit quite a breadth and maybe a little bit of a different approach because you'll see, and it's not because I don't like them. I think there is a place for 8-bound and Exalted 8-bound, but I thought going and leaning in my personally preferred direction of putting more Zerkers on the field, this was how
we... I mean, did you have Angron in there at all either?
I did not, as much as I love him. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't take him. I think there are
ways
to
build him. He's not washed. Angron is not washed. He's still powerful.
That's right. I think he still has play, especially when you're looking at him for points values in relation to some other things. But I'm just leaning into the Zerkers as hard as I could, and with Karn as well. This is where I found myself between these three lists.
No, thanks for sharing. And that's some pretty good insight there with the Defilers. I know we picked out the Defiler in our review as seemingly a standout.
It's big. And it's my new bingo card. You can scratch me off for Defilers now.
I think the Forge Fiend's right up there as well. Just depends on what you want to be doing with it. I see it's really interesting to have Emperor's Children have a full, what I would call a fully fledged multimodal unit. Because they've kind of never had one before. They've always either, they haven't had shooting before, really. They've had the Vindi, which could just shoot. They had, and then everything else could literally just fight. But the Defiler is the everything. It's the everything package. It takes up a huge amount of board space. It has a premium data sheet ability. It shoots. It fights. It's kind of fantastic.
It has... I don't have to work, container or some of those smaller walls and barriers. It's just right over it. No issue.
So the question I came to with mine is action economy. How's your list doing with action economy, buddy? Or are you just like, not here for it. Action, smaction. I'm just going to CP cycle those things away. As soon as
action starts with chain, ends with axe.
That's right, yeah. And so for action economy, the first list I mentioned, it's almost non-existent. The second list, there's a little bit more in regards of, what's that? 10-man Zerker unit doing versus the Jackals and the Goremongers.
Yeah.
The Gortrak really has the efficiency, I think, when it comes to it, just because some of those Zerkers and the Rhinos and whatnot and where you're at, they can do that. It may not be the best thing for them to do, but the again, between the Jackals, Scoremongers, and Zerkers, they do have the ability to get around, and you could play more into missions with that Gort, that final list I mentioned, than any of the other two that really need to be putting pressure on the field as much as possible. The Gort track gives you a lot of flexibility.
Does anyone else... this might be out of left. This is a tangent. But does anybody else have fun, like, you know, when they're having just a lucid moment and they're in the shower just daydreaming about, you know, what the commander has to say to some of these factions to get them to go stand in a field to get containment instead of going for the opponent? Or, like, explaining to an orc that they have to establish locus and they're like, huh? Does anybody else get joy out of that? I do. It brings me joy. Like,
I will think about that
Red's Juggerlord turning back to his 20 boys, and he's just like, yo, we got to sabotage this small ruin. And they're like, what are you doing, dude? They're there. They're right there. We got to get them. He's like, no, you have to sabotage. Yeah, it brings me joy. Lots of joy.
Well, hopefully that's some good list to get people grooving and moving on these new codexes that are coming out. Let us know in the comments what your thoughts are. What are you trying? What are some things you want to try? What have you already tried some of the stuff we just talked about and found a different way of doing it for whatever your local meta is? So that's a couple of different things to let us know. We love hearing about that stuff.
Let's put Paul in it. And you should also comment on which Death Guard detachment Paul should have to build for.
I will definitely go with that. I will go with that too. But I think there's a few things I'm looking forward to playing with the Death Guard.
You could build your fave. We gave Red two. You can build your favey faves, and then you can do the one they ask you to.
That works. That works. Yeah. Well, seriously, thanks for listening, everybody. Please don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. Leave us those 5-star reviews. That means a whole lot to us. We will be back next week. See y'all soon, everybody. Have a good night.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
I don't know what they said, but I already subscribed. You better do it too.